This morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. You can be seated in the house of the Lord this morning if you'd like to. So good to be in the house of God this morning. So good to be at Truth Camp 2014. I am honored to be here. Count it a great privilege to be among this fellowship and group of people. Just honored this morning that they would allow me the opportunity to preach, to speak to you. I know there are many, many preachers in this house this morning that could do a much greater job than I'm about to try to do. I count it a privilege that they would allow me and give me the opportunity, the board members, and just thankful to be here and just appreciate the presence of God that is here. I told Brother Noah Hatfield last night, we were sitting after service. I said, man, I feel like a bologna sandwich at a steakhouse. Just kind of don't feel like I fit in. Not because I don't fit with y'all, but talking about preaching here this morning. I heard one guy, I made that mention to another preacher one time. I was at a meeting. I said, man, I just feel like a bologna sandwich at a steakhouse. He said, I wished I felt like the bologna. He said, about now I feel like the rind on the edge of the bologna. Amen. Glory to God. Just honored and humbled to be among you this morning. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to say while you're turning there, I've thoroughly enjoyed the preaching thus far. Brother Noah Hatfield did a tremendous job last night preaching to us about going overboard, jumping in. I want to encourage you here this morning. Don't just jump in with both feet. You can dive in head first. Brother John Byerly did a tremendous job yesterday morning of preaching to us about possessing, laying hold on the promise of God and what he has for us. Monday night, the Spirit of God came by and blessed us and moved in a mighty way. I want that again this morning, don't you? I want the Holy Ghost to have his way. I said, I want the Holy Ghost to have his way. Matter of fact, if it was up to me, I'd just soon everybody in here got filled with the Holy Ghost before we get out of here this morning. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost driving down the road. Did you know that? You don't have to wait till Friday night to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I was in a meeting not very long ago. Preacher preached on a Tuesday night. It wasn't Friday night. He preached on a Tuesday night on the Holy Ghost, and we had about 15 of them baptized in the Holy Ghost on a Tuesday night. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. Today can be a life-changing experience with God for you this morning. He said, well, preacher, you know, some of us are just young. They're just young kids and young children. I don't know if they're prepared. Let me tell you something. I read over there in the Bible where that man brought his son to Jesus. He was just a boy. And he said he's been possessed with a demon. He said he's had him since he was a child. Brother Snow, that tells me if a demon spirit can possess a child, then there ain't no reason in the world that a child can't get filled and possessed with the power of the Holy Ghost. It don't matter. If you're 4, if you're 5, if you're 7 or 75, the Holy Ghost is for you. It's for all them that would be hungry. It's for all them that are thirsty. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. That's my prayer. 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. If you have it, say amen. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. The supply was greater than the demand. I said the supply was greater than the demand. There was oil for every vessel in the house. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Glory to God. By the help and the grace of God this morning, Lord being my helper, I want to preach to you collection notice. Collection notice. If you would help me pray, let us go to the Father in heaven and ask him to help us. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, humbly, Lord, I come before you. God, I declare before heaven and earth that I can do nothing. I am dust made from the ground, formed from your hands. Lord, I ask you to anoint my lips of clay. Ask you to anoint my feeble endeavors at preaching. Sweet Holy Ghost, would you unction me by your spirit and by your power? Would you stand beside me this morning? Father, let me speak as the oracles of God. As you told Jeremiah, would you put your words in my mouth? Let the anointing of God break every yoke of bondage in this place. Meet with us in this altar. Pour your spirit out upon us. Let there be liberty and freedom in your spirit. We bind every distraction and every demonic hindrance in this place. Let there be a life-changing experience in the lives of these young people, in the lives of mamas, in the lives of daddies here this morning. Oh God, would you help us? We love you. We thank you. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor that is rightfully yours. We're careful to give you the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church said amen. You can be seated here this morning. Collection notice. Collection notice. How many knows what a collection notice is? I know some of you older people know what a collection notice is, but for some of you younger folks that might not have the privilege and joy of having a collection notice, let me briefly tell you what it is. When you get a bill, if you have a credit card or if you have a car payment or you're paying a house payment or whatever you have, if you're paying a payment on something and you don't pay the payment, after a month they'll send you a letter saying your payment's due. After 2 months, 3 months, you still ain't paid your payment, they're going to send you another friendly letter and say, if you don't pay your payment, action's going to take course. How about the fourth or fifth month, I don't know, you know, thereabouts, they'll send you a letter, and on that letter it'll say notice to collect or collection notice. If you're paying a payment on your car and you don't pay your car payment, they'll send you a letter in the mail saying collection notice. And one day you might walk out your front door and find your car is gone out of your driveway because the creditor showed up and he hooked onto your vehicle and he took it out of your house and he took it away from your driveway. Or they may knock on your door and put a notice on your door, say you got 30 days to get out of your house. The creditor came to collect. He's coming to take away what you could not pay for. And here we read about a widow. Most Bible scholars believe that she was the widow of Obadiah, and she has fell on hard times, and she's fell in a time and a place of bankruptcy. Her husband has died and he left her in debt, and she doesn't have any money and she owes a debt that she cannot pay. And in those times you can actually wage your children as collateral against a debt. You can actually put your children up and wage them against a debt. But the problem was, Brother Dustin, if you didn't pay your debt, the creditor would come and take everything out of your house. And if he took everything out of your house and it still wasn't enough to pay the debt, and you had waged your children against the debt, the creditor would come knocking at your door and take your children to be bondmen or to be slaves. And here this woman found out that the creditor was on his way. He was on his way to take her children. He had already taken everything from the house, and now he's coming to take the only thing that she had left, the only thing she loved, the only thing that she cherished,
Her husband's already dead, and now her son is all she has left. But she said the creditor is on his way. I want to point out to you the first thing that this old poor woman found out is that you cannot wage with sin and come out on top. I said she found out that you can't wage with hell and come out on top. She thought, I could play, but I'm going to tell you, if you play, you're going to pay. If you wage with sin, there'll come a day when the creditor will come knocking at your door, my friend, and you're going to sow in fields that you're not prepared to reap. You're going to have to pay a debt that you don't have enough money to pay for. I'm going to tell some young man that you'll not wage against a pornographic website with your purity and come out on top. I want to tell some young lady that you'll not wage your purity against promiscuity and without having to pay a debt. I want to tell some young man you'll not wage your soul with sin and come out on top. I want to tell some young lady you'll not gamble with the devil and come out on top. There'll be a day when the creditor will come and he'll say, it's time to pay the debt. It's time to pay the bill. And my friend, there ain't enough money in all the world to pay the debt of sin. There ain't enough money in every bank account to pay hell when the creditor comes knocking at your door. Young lady, you'll not wage your spirit against that worldly boy you're talking to and come out on top. Young man, I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care how nice she seems. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't find her in this altar, and you don't find her a praying, and you don't find her reading her Bible, my God, and she ain't full of the Holy Ghost, you have no business talking to her. I talked to you a little bit about Samson yesterday, and the problem with Samson was he was in a foreign land that he had no business being in, and there he saw a woman of the Philistines in Timnath. I'm going to tell you one thing. You can't find him in Timnath and not expect him to destroy you. I said you can't go to the land of the Philistines and not expect to end up in chains. You can't marry a woman or a boy of Timnath and expect your marriage to last. I don't care how much you think you love her. I don't care how pretty she is. My God, if you find her in Timnath, you'll end up on the rocks. You'll end up in destruction. You'll end up in trouble when the creditor comes knocking at your door. You'll not wage with sin and come out on top. I want you to notice, the creditor had no love for this woman. The creditor had no charity. This creditor was cold. This creditor was calloused. And this creditor was cold-blooded. The creditor didn't care how bad it was going to hurt when it took those boys out of her house. The creditor didn't care how many tears that woman had already shed over the loss of her husband. He didn't care that she was losing her house. And he didn't care that he was on his way to take her children. I'm going to tell you, young man, I don't care how bad it hurts. I don't care how bad it breaks you. After you're finished waging with sin, you'll lay in bed and cry a bucket of tears. But the creditor will not care. I said, hell don't care. The creditor has no love. The creditor is cold. The creditor is out to kill, to steal, and destroy. The creditor don't care. Your tears and your fears won't move the creditor. You'll cry yourself to sleep, but the creditor will not care. He was taking her children, which represented the next generation. Let me tell you something. You folks, you young folks, think the devil's after daddy and the devil is after mama, and he is. But I'm going to tell you who his prime target is. It's you. The prime target of hell is you. Because if he can get you today, if he can get the young people today, he'll have the family of tomorrow. If he can get the young people today, he'll have the church of tomorrow. He may not be able to stop the church today, but if he can get a hold of them, if he can get of a young man and get a hold of him before he's ever called to preach, if he can get his hold on the life of a young lady before she's ever filled with the Holy Ghost. See, you don't know the potential that's in you. You don't know the plan that God has for you. But the devil's scared of you. Did you hear me? I said the devil is scared of you. He ain't scared of an army, but he's scared of one young man that's got some oil. He's scared of one young lady that's on fire for God. I'm going to tell you here today, You might not understand the full potential that is in your life, but did you know you can see the seed that is in the fruit, but only God can see the fruit that is in the seed. You don't even understand the potential that's in your soul. You don't even understand the anointing that God's got for you. You don't even understand the purpose and plan that God has for your life. And if the devil can get a hold of you today, he can stop the home of tomorrow. If he can get you on drugs this year, he can have the church tomorrow. If he can stop you now, he can stop the family. He can stop the church. I'm telling you, you are the prime target of the creditor. He was coming to empty her home. I said he was coming to empty her home. He was coming to evict her, and he was coming to extort her children. My friend, the creditor will empty you of everything you've got. I said you wage with sin, and the creditor will empty you. He'll empty you of your joy. He'll empty you of your peace. He'll empty you of your peace of mind. He'll empty you of your anointing. He'll empty you of everything that God's ever put in you. He'll empty you of your good morals. My friend, I've seen good young men grew up on the church pew, full of the Holy Ghost at one time, sung in the youth choir, but today got the morals of an alley cat because they played and they waged with sin. I'm telling you, he will take your morals. He'll take your purity. He'll take your name. He'll take your anointing. He'll take your calling. He'll take your inheritance. If you wage with the devil, he'll take everything you've got. He'll empty you. He came to empty her. He came to evict her. My friend, the devil wants nothing more than to evict you out of the perfect will of God. He wants nothing more than to evict you out of the purpose of God. Not only that, he was coming to extort her children. The word extort means to take, but is not yours, by unfair means. My friend, he was coming to take all she had. She had no man there to protect her. She had no means to hold her children. He was coming to take by an unfair means. I'm going to tell you here today that the devil don't play fair. I said hell don't play fair. He don't care if he destroys your family. He don't care if he destroys your daddy. He don't care if he destroys your mama. He don't care if he destroys your pastor. He don't care if your church splits right down the middle. I'm telling you, hell don't play fair. Hell don't care how many tears you cry. He will take by any means. He will kill by any means. He'll destroy by any means. The devil's coming to extort you, to destroy you, and to take everything you've God cried by reason of the creditor. She cried, Brother Dustin, she cried. As a young man, 18 years old, I got me a credit card. I remember as a young boy, I thought, man, this is cool. Brother Snow, I got me a credit card. I'm cool. I grew up. I'm big. Had my driver's license at 16. Got me a credit card. Got me two or three, actually. Now, don't do this. This was stupid. But anyway, got me a credit card. I went to town, just a young, dumb kid. I wanted a pair of shoes. Now, I'm preaching to you young ladies now. Went to town, wanted me a new pair of boots. How about this one? Go to the gun store. Wanted me a new rifle? Sure. Pull out the plastic and slide the card. It was seemingly painless. I thought I could get what I wanted without having to pay anything. It didn't hurt when I swiped that card. All I did was hand them the card, and they gave me in exchange what I wanted. It was joyful. It was fun. It was pleasurable. I thought, hey, this ain't so bad. This ain't all that bad. It didn't really cost me anything. But there came a day, Brother Snow, when I got a letter in the mail, and I looked down in the fine print, and it said at the bottom, balance due, and my eyes about bulged out of my head. I said, oh, dear God, you mean I gotta pay? I didn't really realize that I charged that much money. money on that card. I didn't really understand that I had spent that much money. I'm going to tell you here today that the devil will take you farther than you want to go. He'll cost you more than you want to pay. He'll keep you longer than you plan to stay. I'm going to tell you something here. It may not seem like it costs you much right now, but there is coming a day when the collection notice will show up at your door. There's coming a day when hell will come knocking at your door. I want to tell you, somebody's going to pay the bill. I said somebody's going to pay the bill. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. I'm telling you, somebody's going to pay, for the wage of sin is death. Somebody will pay the bill. You're going to pay. You hear me? Think it ain't costing much. It ain't costing much. It doesn't hurt. Seemingly painless. Mom and daddy don't know. It ain't hurting that bad, Brother Noah. Pastor ain't said nothing about it. It don't hurt that bad. It's just one little look. It ain't hurting that much. It's just one little movie that I shouldn't be watching. But it ain't that big a deal. It's just one little scene. I've heard people say, well, it's only one. I didn't know. I didn't plan on preaching on movies, but I've heard people say, well, it's just one scene in the movie. I said, how many scenes does it take to send you to hell? Well, it's just a few cuss words. I said, how many cuss words does it take to send you to hell? I'm going to tell you, if you play the game, my friend, the creditor is going to come knocking at your door. Creditor, somebody's going to pay. I was not very long ago talking to a preacher friend of mine. He told me he was a registered nurse, still is. He was a registered nurse, but he pastored a church and he also evangelized. He said, I come off the field. I took a job at a new hospital, in a mental hospital. And he said, there, my first day on the job, I walked into the office not knowing anybody. Just got hired first day, first morning. I walked into the office. He said there were three nurses in that office room. And he said, when I walked in, not knowing any of them, he said they were talking among themselves. And he said, oh, the first thing I heard them say was, I can't believe he got away with it. He said, I'm minding my own business, not really knowing what they're talking about. But he said, I heard a man speak up and say, dear God, I can't believe that he got away with it. He said, they said it two or three times. He said, I turned around and said, excuse me. He said, might I ask what you're talking about? They said, haven't you heard? He said, no, I just got it my first day on the job. He said, we just had a man that was sent home this morning. They said he was sent home. They said he's a very evil man. The preacher told me what he did. He done unspeakable things to children. He should have went to prison, but he was a man well known in that city. He was a man well known in that town. He owned businesses and he had a lot of money, and his lawyers got him off and his money bought him off, and he'd done unspeakable things that I won't even tell you from a pulpit. They said he should have went to prison for life, but all he got was like 90 days in a mental hospital. And they said he walked out of here a free man this morning. He walked back to his home. He walked back to his money. He walked back to his business. They said he got away with it scot-free. That preacher said, before I realized what had happened, he said, I pointed my finger at them three nurses. He said, the Holy Ghost came all over me. He said, I said, you mark it down in your calendar. He said, write it down today. I'm telling you. He said, he did not get away with it. He said, oh, preacher, you know, sir, you don't understand. He's already home. He's already served his time. He got away with all of it. He said, I'm telling you. He said, I'm telling you. Telling you that he won't get away with it. He said 2 weeks later, he said, I was on my way to the hospital to go to work. He said, I picked up the morning newspaper. He said, I walked in and I slapped it on the front desk of that nurse I was talking to. He said, I told you that he wouldn't get away with it. And he said, there on the front page of the morning paper was a picture of that man who had just walked out of that hospital 2 weeks before. Everybody knew his name. That's why he was on the front page. stage. That night before, he had got in his truck and drove out into a field, and he climbed his way up a radio tower all the way to the top of it, and he dove off the top and he committed suicide. You say, why would he do that? Because, friend, that fateful night, the creditor came knocking at his door, and he had no means of paying the bill. My friend, the hounds of hell, when they get on your trail, you won't be able to shake them. Daddy can't get them off. The preacher can't get them off. Mama can't get them off. A good song won't get them off. I'm telling you, when the creditor comes knocking at your door, somebody will pay. Job said, 18, he shall be driven from the light into darkness and chased out of the world. That's what happened to him, Brother Noah. The creditor came that night knocking on his door, and he chased him out of his house, and the hounds of hell chased him into the car, and they chased him down the road, and they chased him into a field, and they run him up a tower, and they chased him off. My friend, hell was finally paid, but it cost that man his life. It cost that man his soul when the creditor is at your door. You reap what you sow. It's called the principle of reaping and sowing. You ever heard of the word called aftermath? Do you know what aftermath means? You go out, plant a field of hay, whatever you want to plant, corn. You go and harvest that field. You cut it. You collect it. The next year, you won't have to plant anything because there'll be stuff growing out of that field that was left over from the year before. It was a crop that they didn't plan for. It was a crop that they didn't ask for. But because they sowed into a field, there came results later that they had no plans to handle. Oh my God, are you hearing me? It's called the aftermath of sin. And when you plant, you're gonna reap. When you sow, you're gonna reap. I'm telling you, it is the aftermath of sin. Nobody understood fully the concept of the aftermath of sin like David understood it. You see, David knew that he'd pay for his sin, but nobody understood how bad he'd really pay. For the Bible says that the sword will never leave your house. He was telling David, you will forever pay for your sin. I don't care how many times you weep, for I don't care how many times you go to church. He said, David, the sword will never leave your house. David didn't really understand it until Amnon had already raped Tamar, and then Absalom would kill Amnon, and then the child by Bathsheba would die, and then Absalom would drive him out of his kingdom and try to kill him, and then his son Absalom would hang from a tree and die. Nobody understood the aftermath. David wasn't prepared for the aftermath of sin. He wasn't prepared for the creditor to come knocking at his door. He asked her, what do you have in the house? She said, nothing. The creditor's on his way, and you have nothing? You're empty at a time like this? People backsliding left and right, and you're empty at a time like this? Hell is on a rampage, and you're empty at a time like this. Mamas and daddies getting divorces all over the church, and you're empty. You're empty. You're empty. The creditor's on his way, and you're empty. Brother Noah, hell's coming, and we're empty. Destruction's at every hand. Destruction is at every hand, and we're empty. Hell's on his way, and we're empty. Pornography's rampant in the church, and we're empty. Like 60 to 70 some percent of pastors, or 60 or 70 some percent of people that enrolled in the pornography program through Focus on the Family, it was like 60 some percent of them were preachers and pastors. Not only are the people empty, not only are the pews empty, but the pulpits of America are empty. My God, hell is on a rampage, and we're empty at a time like this. Destruction is at the door, but we have no oil. We're empty. My God, do you understand the seriousness of it? Do you understand the creditor would like to destroy you, and we're empty? I'm going to tell you something here tonight, this morning. I didn't come to paint a picture of hell, hang you over the top of it, and leave you there. I come to preach to you that there's a cure for the creditor. I said I come to tell somebody that there is an answer for the creditor. Whoa! He said, what do you have in the house? She said, I have nothing save a pot of oil. I'm going to tell you, the devil may have taken a lot of things from you. Your home may be empty. You may be sitting in here empty this morning and feel like you have nothing left. You may feel like hell has stripped you of everything. Daddy may be a drug addict. Mama may be an alcoholic. Your home may be split right down the middle, and you may feel like that you have nothing. She said, I have nothing save a pot of oil. I want to tell you, friend, you may not have nothing left but a pot of oil, but the pot of oil is all you need. Don't underestimate the power that's in the oil. My God, I said, don't underestimate the power that's in the oil. Don't underestimate the power that's in the blood. Don't underestimate the power in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the oil is all you need. The cure for the creditor was the oil. The cure for the church is the oil. The cure for her cry is the oil. We need the oil. The devil's after your children. Mamas and daddies, let me talk to you for just a minute. The devil's after the next generation. I felt this on my heart. I wouldn't even say this. I know this is youth camp, but I want to talk to mamas and daddies here for just a moment. The creditor's coming, and we need oil. When's the last time your children come in and saw you in a prayer meeting in your home? When's the last time they came in? Saw you reading your Bible. Brother John Byerly, they've came in and found us watching movies. My God, they've come in and saw us watching TV. They've saw us reading Field and Stream. But when's the last time they come in, my God, and saw Daddy laying on the floor, speaking in tongues, and reaching heaven? When's the last time, Mama, that little Johnny came in and saw you and heard you in your room crying out to God? My friend, this is no hour to get distracted. The creditor is coming, and we need the oil. Brother Snow, we've went on fishing trips. We've went on outings. We've had potlucks. We've had gatherings. We've had basketball games. My God, is there anybody that has looked for the oil? The creditor is coming, and we're empty at a time like this. We need some oil. I said we need some oil. Are you with me still this morning? Give me a few more minutes. Just got out of a meeting with Brother Tracy Boyd. I know he wouldn't mind me telling this. He told this story at our church a couple weeks ago in California. He said him and his wife had just bought a new home. Now, some of you may know Brother Tracy. He got three girls, but at the time they had two daughters. He said him and his wife, they just bought a new home from a Vietnamese family. He said they got moved into that home. And he said shortly after they got moved in, he said his two little girls, Brother Snow, would wake up in the middle of the night every night. He said approximately 2 or 3 in the morning. And he said they'd wake up fearful. They'd wake up screaming. They'd wake up crying. Sister Davine, you were there. He said we'd run into the room. We'd try to comfort them. They were young enough they really couldn't tell them what was going on. He said we'd try to help them. He said we'd get them back to sleep. He said we'd go out through the next day. But the next night, the same thing. He said, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. He said, my baby girls would wake up screaming, wake up terrified, wake up fearful. And he said, it went on and on and on and on and on. And he said, finally one night, Sister Shay, his wife, said, Brother Chet Tracy, said, something's not right in this house. Said, them girls ain't just waking up every night for no reason. Said, it ain't right. And she said, we need to pray until God gives us an answer. We need to pray until God helps us. That night they prayed. They went to bed and went to sleep. Long about 3 o'clock in the morning, Sister Shay said, I don't know if it was a vision. I don't know if it was a dream. I don't know if it was an out-of-the-body experience. But she said, I rose up out of my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she said, I walked into my baby girl's room. And she said, my little girl was asleep on the bed. And she said, I looked over in the corner of their room. And she said, there sat a demon spirit dressed in black, sitting in the corner with a hood over his head. And she said, in my dream or vision, I pointed my finger at him. And she said, I began to speak in tongues. And she said, suddenly I was back in my body. I sat up in bed speaking in tongues. Brother Tracy woke up, heard her speaking in tongues. He said, what's going on? She said, God just showed me what it is. They got out of their bed, run into that room, speaking in tongues, and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my house. Thank God there's still some daddies and some mamas that got the oil. Is there anybody that's got any oil in the house? It's an emergency. I said, it's an emergency. The creditor's coming. Is there any oil? Is there any oil in the house? I'm telling you, oil is what we need. The oil is what we need. He said, what do you have? She said, nothing save a pot of oil. I don't know about you, Brother Noah, but that sounds like the early church to me. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. He said, silver I do not have, gold I do not have, but I do have some oil. He said, the gold won't help you, but the silver ain't gonna help you. He said, but I got something better than gold. I've got something better than silver. I got something better than money. He said, I got some oil that's fresh from the press of heaven. I've got some oil that is fresh from the throne room of God. Silver and gold have I none. I have nothing but some oil. I tell you, the Pentecostal church, we've got good music. We got padded pews. We got nice carpet. We got programs. We got plans. We got checking accounts. We got money. We got smooth preaching. We got everything you can want. My God, that ain't what I'm looking for. I want to know, do we have any oil when the creditor comes? Is there any oil in the house? Is there a preacher with some oil? Is there a young man with some oil? Is there a young lady with some oil? What we need is the oil. I'd rather go back to sawdust floors and open air tent meetings and have the oil than have paraphernalia without the power. I said, we've got paraphernalia. We got the choirs. We got the smooth preachers. We got the singers. We got the cathedrals. We got the sign, the lights and marquee. My God, when David brought the ark back, he said, I'll dwell in the tent with an ark before I dwell in the house of Dagon without it. My God, we want the oil. We have talent, charisma, and emotion, but talent won't drive hell back from your home. Charisma won't keep you. Emotion won't keep you. What we need is the oil. Padded pews. Brother John Barley, Brother Darren, Sister Ashley, would you come right now? We got padded pews and big meetings, but they won't drive back the creditor. So what are we going to do when the creditor comes? Brother Barley, you're a pastor of a church. You're the shepherd of your sheep. I've preached for you. I preached revival for you. I know your heart. You got love for your people. I love your spirit. Brother Barley, when the creditor comes, what are we going to do? There's, huh?
I have no oil.
Brother Barley, the creditor is coming, and we need oil.
I don't have any
but you're pastoring a church and the creditor's coming. Brother Byerly, what happened? I've been with you when you had the oil. Brother Byerly, I preached for you last year and you had the oil. What happened? Brother Byerly, people are going to die. Brother Darren, you guys were there. We need oil. Do you have any oil? Brother Darren, there's a cup. Brother Darren, you guys are parents. The creditor's coming for your children. And the only thing that'll keep them is the oil. Where is the oil? You had the oil, but you lost it. You were full of the Holy Ghost, but you ain't full no more. You did have the anointing of God on your life, but you ain't got it no more. You were full of the Spirit of God, but you're empty. You're empty. At a time like this, the oil is gone. Nehemiah said, and there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were they that said, we are sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were there that said, we have mortgaged. Listen, we have mortgaged our lands and our vineyards and our houses that we may buy corn. There were also they that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute that upon our lands and our vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren and our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be slaves and servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for men have our lands and our vineyards. They said, Nehemiah, we've waged our vineyards to the creditor, and they've taken our children. Not only had Israel lost the oil, they waged their vineyards and lost their means of producing any. They were empty of their oil and they had no means of producing any. Brother Noah, we're living in a time where the church has no oil and no means of producing any oil. But now the creditor came and took their children. And they told Nehemiah, they said they have our children and they're slaves. And we have no means of producing any oil. We have no means of redeeming our children. Brother Darren, what are we going to do when the creditor comes for our babies and we have no means of saving them? What are we going to do, Brother Byerly, when the creditor comes for our young people and we have no means of redeeming them? We have no means of saving them. When the enemy comes in like a flood and the pastor's empty and mama's empty and the youth group is empty and we have no means of producing any oil. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm fixing to close. A young man raised in a Pentecostal church in the state of Oklahoma. That's all the details I'll give you. Raised in a Pentecostal holiness church in the state of Oklahoma. Had a praying mama. But Brother Noah, he started hanging with the wrong crowd. And mama told him, boy, you better get away from them people. He wasn't but 18 or 19 years old, Brother Byerly. He got out and got to hanging with that crowd. Long story short, somebody please come to the piano. Long story short, he got into a gang in the state of Oklahoma. His mama begged him to come back to church, but he wouldn't come. One night shortly after he joined that gang, they were going to have a little party. They told him, you want to be a part of this gang. He said, you're going to have to do what we tell you to do. This boy raised in Pentecost. They told him, you meet us at such and such place. They met at an abandoned building. It was two or three stories tall. They said, at the top of that building, you come to the top, we'll meet you there. That boy got there, Brother Byerly. He got there and that gang, those gang members were there. They had a woman tied up. They had a bag over her head. They took advantage of that woman. Every one of them took their turn. When they got down, Brother Snow, they looked at that boy, that Pentecostal boy. He said, now it's your turn. Brother Noah, reluctantly he did it. When he got done, Brother Barley, trying to fit in, when he got done, the statement was made that he stood over the top of that woman and said, let's see what you look like, you old hag. Reached down and pulled the bag off the woman's head. True story. It was his own mama. He didn't tell him that they went and took his own mama. Brother Noah, he screamed. He screamed. And he turned around and he ran to the edge of that building, Brother John. And he jumped off and he committed suicide. He had no oil. He lost the oil. Don't tell me what you'll do when you lose the oil. Peter, don't tell me you'll not deny God when you lose the oil. Pentecostal boy, but he lost the oil. Play real softly, sister, if you would, right now. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I had an illustration for this message, but we're not going to use it. Holy Ghost is working right now. I really thought this message would go a different way. But God had other plans this morning. God's a pulling for some young lady. I could tap you on the shoulder right now. You're emptied of the oil. You have been emptied of the oil. I had the oil, but I'm empty. I want to tell you here this morning, there's more oil if you're empty. I said there's more oil if you're empty. God's talking to you right now, young man. God's talking to you right now, young lady. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to get to this holder and ask God to fill you. There could be a preacher. Fill this. There could be a preacher in this house this morning. Said, I am empty and I need more oil. There could be a daddy. God has commissioned you to watch on the wall, but you're standing up there today empty of all your oil. There could be a mama that's commissioned to pray for her babies, but you have no oil. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. If you're in this house, you say, preacher, first of all, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to come right now. Right now. Say, preacher, I need the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid. Come on. Come on. Come on. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the oil. I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. I need the oil. When the creditor comes, I want the oil. Preacher, you're in this house this morning and you're out of oil. Why don't you get out of your pew? Make your way to this altar. I need more oil.